Well, as I said earlier, today can bring up a lot of emotions to us in different ways. Some of us have had fathers that were very loving, and they still exist. And my dad's still alive, and I'm grateful for that. Some folks have had wonderful fathers, and their dads have passed on. And today is a hard day for them. A friend of mine who's a pastor over in North Carolina wrote on Facebook last night. He said, I'm beginning to like Father's Day less and less. And the reason is because his dad has passed away. And so it's a very hard day for him. For some of us, today's a hard day because our dads are not what we wanted them to be. Our dads were not good examples for us. And so while some of us today celebrate Father's Day, others of us maybe in this room today struggle with anger at our dads because of who they were, because they haven't been good examples for us. And so today what I want to do is I want to show us out of Hebrews chapter 10. This is actually going to, I'm actually going to make application about fathers to each one of us, although initially it's not going to seem like it has anything to do with fathers at all. So today as we look at Hebrews chapter 10 verses 1 through 14, and we're going to have the verses up here on the screen so that you can follow along if you can see from our VBS background here. We're going to see what God has to say to each and every single one of us, and also how that applies to us as fathers and to those of us who have fathers. So let's look at verses 1 through 4 together. And like I said, this is going to seem like it's coming out of left field, but it's hopefully going to all tie in together. It says this, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." The Old Covenant, meaning the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, the law that God had given to His people Israel in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that old covenant could never cleanse you from sin. The sacrificial system could not cleanse you from sin. It tells us here in verse 1, "Since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are offered continually every year, make perfect those who draw near." The old law was a shadow of the substance that was going to come. When Abraham was taking his son of promise, Isaac, up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him as God had commanded him, Isaac asked him, "Father, where is the lamb to sacrifice?" And Abraham told his son, "Isaac, God will provide the lamb. He is going to provide the lamb." And in fact, Abraham was spared from sacrificing his son because God told him to stop, and a ram was caught in a thicket, and the ram was brought over and sacrificed. But the truth is that all of these sacrifices in the Old Testament were a foreshadowing of what was going to come. The law could never make anyone perfect. The shedding of blood, the shedding of the blood of bulls and goats could not take away our sins. It was merely a picture that atonement had to be made, that sacrifice had to be made for sins, but it couldn't take our sins away. Alec Motier says this, "It is the very heart of our sinfulness that we sin because we want to. And because we sin because we want to, no animal could do more than picture a substitution for sin. The animals that were slaughtered over and over for sins were merely a picture of us needing a substitute. But only a person can substitute for sin. Only a consenting will can substitute for a rebellious will. We all, the Bible tells us, have rebellious natures. We sin by choice, and we sin by nature. We all do. It's in our DNA from the time that we are born. We all have a natural bent towards sin. And so the Old Testament was a shadow of what was going to come. But the law can never cleanse you. And your own righteous requirements for yourself and your own righteous requirements for others can never satisfy. We have requirements for ourselves, and we often grade ourselves on a sliding scale. We give ourselves oftentimes more grace and liberty than we do other people. We're easier on ourselves than we are on others. And then we also have friends of ours that we're very close to that we will forgive their shortcomings. But then if other people that we know that are maybe in the fringes of our lives, if they disappoint us, we will impose our law upon them. We will impose requirements upon them that if they meet these requirements, we will forgive them. But if they continue to fail us over and over and over again, then they can't measure up. They won't measure up to our standard. But the thing is, folks, is that our righteous requirements for ourselves and for other people will never satisfy us. Because they'll move up sometimes. Sometimes we'll let ourselves go. Sometimes we will not have the greatest day and we just don't care. We just think we give ourselves a pass. And then on other days, we don't perform up to what we think is our standard and we feel like complete losers. We feel like, I'm never going to measure up. Why do I even try? Why do I even try to raise my kids? I don't measure up to what somebody down the road is doing. Why do I even keep this up? Or you may forgive someone for something petty, but if something serious happens against you, are you as willing to forgive that? We're not. Because we have a law. We create a law, an expectation in our hearts of how other people should treat us. But listen, the old covenant could never cleanse anyone from sin. It could only point them towards the reality that was to come. These bulls and goats could never cleanse anyone. It just showed you over and over again, sin has to be atoned for. Sin has to be atoned for. Sin has to be atoned for. And God throughout the Old Testament was promising that sin was going to be atoned for once and for all. And He did do that, as we're going to see next. Look in verses 5 through 6. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and in sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, this is Jesus speaking, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. Jesus here is quoting a verse out of Psalm 40, verse 7. That's what Psalm 40, verse 7, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of your book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. What Jesus is saying here, what this is saying about Jesus, is that since the old covenant could never satisfy, he had come to do away with that old covenant. And he had come to establish a second covenant, a new covenant, if you will. And this new covenant, as we're going to see in these next couple of verses, this new covenant has already cleansed believers. Look in verses 10 and 14. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Jesus was the true form that is spoken of back in verse 1. Let me read verse 1 again. It says, "For since the law was but a shadow of the things to come, instead of the true form of these realities." Jesus was the true form. Jesus was the lamb that God was going to provide. That's why Isaac, his sacrifice was replaced with a ram. Abraham told him, God will provide a lamb. And Jesus was that lamb that God provided. Jesus fulfilled everything written about him. Jesus, it says, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." That in the Old Testament, there is prophecy after prophecy after prophecy of a suffering servant who would come and who would bear the sins of the world upon his own body. That's what Jesus says next. He says, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, then he said, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. Jesus was given a body. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, came in the form of a human being. He was given a body so that he could be sacrificed for the sins of the world. But look what it says here in verses 10 and 14. It says, and by that will, by Jesus' will to come and do what we could never do for ourselves, what the law could never do for ourselves, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all. Let that sink in just for a second. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all. You have been cleansed by the death of Jesus Christ. You have been positionally made perfect. That's what it says here in verse 14. It says, for by a single offering, by his body, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And there's two things here in this verse. It says in verse 10 that we have been sanctified. Verse 14, it says that we are being sanctified. Well, which one is it? The answer is yes. It's both of them. Positionally, we have been sanctified. We have been perfected by Jesus' blood on the cross, by his death and by his resurrection. Positionally, we have been made right before God. And yet, we are being sanctified. We are being cleansed. We are being made more and more like Jesus. We all do have indwelling sin dwelling within our hearts that needs to be cleansed, that needs to be transformed, that we need to be made more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. God calls us to be transformed, and we have been sanctified, and yet at the same time, we are being sanctified. But the point is this, folks, Jesus has done everything that needed to be done in order to make you right with God. He's done everything. He has done everything by his perfect obedience, by his death on the cross. He has done everything for you to make you right before God. The law couldn't do it. The righteous requirements of the law couldn't do it. Your righteous requirements of yourself and your righteous requirements that you have for other people, that you establish a law that if people meet this, then they'll be acceptable to you. It'll never work. Jesus did what we could never do for ourselves. He has made us sanctified before God. He has made us perfect one time for all. For the rest of our lives, throughout all eternity, we are made perfect with God. By a single offering, He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Do you get that? Do you get today that if you are in Christ, sinner though you are, if right now you died of a heart attack here in the church service, God forbid, do you know that you're perfect in His sight? Do you know this? With all of your indwelling sin that you see in your life and are concerned about, do you know that you need to be just as concerned with the fact that you are perfectly acceptable before God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you? Do you know that? Do you meditate on that? Do you think about that? Do you give as much energy to saying as you do to saying, I'm a loser. I'm never going to make it. I'm a loser as a dad. I'm a loser as a husband. I'm a loser as a wife. I'm not measuring up to what my husband wants me to do. I'm not measuring up to what my wife and my children expect of me. I'm not getting it. And you walk around with this cloud over your head and you're always depressed and you always have a negative outlook about life. Do you give as much attention to the fact that you are perfect in the sight of God as you do to the fact that you feel like a loser all the time? If not, why not? It's what the Word of God says. It's what the Word of God says about you, is that you have been perfected once and for all by Jesus Christ. That is the righteous standard. He is the righteous standard. And He did it for us because we never could do it for ourselves. He came and did for us what was impossible for us to do by ourselves. Let me read you this out of Psalm 130. It says this: If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. And then it says this: I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in His word I put my hope. Do you put your hope in what God says about you? Or do you put your hope in your fluctuating feelings? Do you put your hope in what the God of the universe says, that you have been perfected by Jesus Christ once and for all? Or do you put your hope in, well, today was a pretty good day. I did pretty well today. I feel pretty good about myself. These people, they made me happy. I'm happy with them. And then you wake up the next day and you feel miserable. And you go to work and you have a terrible day. And you're supposed to work for 8 hours and you maybe work 4.5 hours and you stand around and talk the rest of the time. And then you go home and you gobble down your dinner and you fight with your wife and just disregard your kids and you know, you just get on the couch and watch television until you fall asleep. How are you going to feel about yourself? How do we feel about ourselves when we do that? Because we do it quite frequently. We don't get it right. But the point is, folks, is that God wants you to see today, on Father's Day, that a loving Father, Heavenly Father, though you may not have a loving earthly father, A loving heavenly Father has made a way for you to be perfect in His sight. Sinner though you remain to be, you will never be judged again on the basis of your sins. You will be judged forevermore on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for you. You know what flash paper is? Flash paper, magicians use flash paper. It's this paper that they take and they'll try to distract your attention, and so they'll light this paper on fire and it's like just burns out instantly. It's not a slow burn, it just burns out immediately. Did you know that that's what your sins are like to God? All of your sins instantly are burned out. They were burned out on His Son, who died for us on the cross. That today, when you go home and you don't live perfectly and you get angry and you're frustrated with yourself and you're frustrated with everybody else, that every time you sin, your sins are just like a flash paper. Just, they're burning off. They're gone. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Do we let those words go into our hearts, or do we just sing them and say, okay, let's get the music over so we can go eat? Maybe Bo won't preach that long today. If I know my heart, I know your heart. But the point is, do you know that? Do you know that positionally before God you have been perfected? You have been sanctified before Him. And that in Him you have an eternal hope today. Do you put your hope in God's Word, or do you put your hope in your self-talk and in what others say about you? Did you know that there is only one person in the universe whose opinion about you matters? And that is God. And if you are in Christ, you don't have to impress anyone else. You really don't. You can be who you are. Are you a normal, ordinary person? Are you just kind of run-of-the-mill, plain Jane, you know, whatever? You're free to be plain Jane. You don't have to measure up to what somebody else's standard is, because the righteous judge has declared you perfect in His Son. You know, you don't have to measure up. You don't have to impress anybody. You don't have to go out and buy a new car so everybody can say, oh, wow, look at them, you know, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to do any of that. You are perfect in His sight. That's what the Scriptures have told us today. So let me ask you this, dads. Do you see yourself mostly as a failure today? You see yourself as a failure as a father and as a husband? Or do you see yourself as someone who is perfect in Jesus Christ? Do you see all of your failures, what you've done wrong in the past, as much as you see the fact that positionally you are in Him, perfect? Can you forgive yourself for your failures? Do you desire to be better? That should be more evidence in your heart of the fact that you are a child of God than anything else. Do you grieve over the fact that you failed so much? That's evidence that you're saved. That's evidence that you're a child of God. Do you want to be better? Can you forgive yourself? Husband, can you forgive yourself? Children, what about you? I know that a lot of us don't have godly fathers and haven't had godly fathers, and maybe your father died. But you know, we all have our righteous standard that doesn't matter. Only God's righteous standard matters. Do you have a Christian father who isn't perfect, but yet he longs to be better? Can you thank God for him today with all of his flaws and with all of his failures? Can you forgive him in the same way that Christ has forgiven you? And listen, I know that there are some horror stories out there maybe in your life of the way your father treated you. I'm not saying just write a blank check and say, okay, now I've just got to feel this. I've just got to feel it. Bo told me I've got to forgive my dad. He was a monster, and I've just got to forgive him. I've got to forgive him. No, I don't think that's what God's talking about. What I do think God is talking about, it's all an issue of our heart. If you're sitting here today and you're saying, I struggle with hatred for my dad, for what he did to me or what he did to my family, can you at least pray, God, would you soften my heart to see that I don't have to be the righteous judge in my dad's life? I don't have to judge him. You're going to judge rightly. If he was a monster and he never knew Christ, you can be sure that your dad is going to be judged eternally. And yet, if your dad is flawed and feeble and has not done a good job and he's a Christian, you can be certain that God is going to judge your father righteously because he's already poured out all of his wrath upon his perfect son for him. Wives, what about you? You know your husbands more intimately than anyone else. You know his failures, and you know that you could rip him to shreds for all of his failures to you and to your family. But let me ask you this. Can you see Jesus in your husband? Is your husband a Christian? You know that you know that you know that he knows Jesus Christ. Do you know that as sinful as he is, if he is a Christian, then he is perfect in God's sight positionally? You know why that grates against us? You know why that just grates against our souls when we think, no! I have to hold a grudge against him. You know why that is? Because we are strangers to grace. We are well familiar with law. We're well familiar with this. Righteousness needs to happen against this person. We're strangers to the fact that your Heavenly Father sees your husband positionally as perfect in Jesus Christ. We're strangers to that notion. And yet God wants us to learn. Can you pray for that husband? Can you hope the best for him? Though he's not all he needs to be, can you pray for him? And as much as you complain about him, can you bring him before the throne of grace and say, God, change him. Make him what he needs to be. Because we can complain. It's natural to us. But to pray for someone who is many times our enemy in our own home, man, that's not as easy. But can you pray? Tim Keller said this. He said, the Christian gospel is that I am so flawed that Jesus had to die for me. Yet I am so loved and valued that Jesus was glad to die for me. This knowledge that I'm so flawed that Christ had to die for me, and yet I'm so loved and valued that Jesus was glad to die for me, should lead us to deep humility and confidence at the same time. Deep humility over our own indwelling sin. It undermines both swaggering, strutting around thinking you're better than everybody else, and it also undermines sniveling, saying, I'm nobody. God could never love me. I'm a nobody. No, the cross says that you are somebody. It doesn't say that you're somebody more than you think you should be, but it brings us all on the same level playing field, folks. I cannot feel superior to anyone, and yet I have nothing to prove to anyone. The gospel calls us neither to think more of ourselves nor less of ourselves. Instead, the gospel calls us to think of ourselves less. That's what the gospel does. The gospel is a leveler to all of us. Yeah, there's some of us that are further along the path of sanctification progressively than maybe some others of us are. But you know, I got news for you. Those of us who read our Bible every day and who witness and who serve heartily in the church and who do things for the glory of God, we're going to be saved in the same way as those people who they're not even faithful in their attendance. They don't tithe. You know, they don't tithe like they should. They don't serve. You know what's going to happen? On the day of judgment, we're going to stand together and we're going to lock arms. You know why? Because it's Jesus. It's not our performance. It's never our performance. It's what He has done, that He fulfilled the righteous requirements that were against us. And He wants us today on Father's Day to have that in mind. Dads, have you been a failure? Are you seeking the Lord? Do you know Him? Do you know that you're perfect in Him? Let's pray together. Lord, I ask that maybe today, if someone has not understood this good news of Jesus Christ and of His righteousness for us, God, that You would birth that into somebody's heart today, that You would save someone today, knowing that we are perfect because of Jesus alone, not because of ourselves, not because of our righteous requirements for ourselves and for others. I pray that You would do that in Jesus' name. Amen.